If the Lord had never risen, we'd have nothing to believe, but his promise can be trusted. Really, I think that kind of sums up the sermon today, amen. Well, I better speak a little longer. That reality is one thing. Our life experiences can be quite a trouble, quite a different. Troubles, who wants them? But who can avoid them? It's a standard question whenever disaster strikes, be it in Boston or in our own little realms of influences, why follow suit? Why is a little boy killed in a marathon? Why are children slaughtered so cruelly that open coffins are not even possible for the loved ones to say goodbye? Why the diagnosis, the sickness, the loss, the storm that's ripped apart my life at this particular moment? You see, troubles and whys seem to go hand in hand and weigh down our hearts. They challenge our faith and make God seem so distant, so uncaring, or sometimes even the opposite, that he's impotent, that he's a victim of circumstances, a figure of openness theology's creation, experiencing humanness as it happens, and he's not really master but a slave. Yet Jesus states absolutely most emphatically, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be stirred up or anxious or worried. And really, for the disciples, they weren't at all. When they were with Jesus, they had given up everything. They left their homes, their possessions, and all the rest. And they were confident. They walked around with Jesus. They saw the miracles. They saw the dead being raised. They saw those Pharisees put into their little places. We know all that. Here when we're in chapel or on campus or sitting in our classrooms, we're pretty confident, aren't we? We know exactly how we're going to react no matter what the circumstances, whether it be a national disaster or sitting holding a little 9-year-old girl's hand as she's about to die. We know in our lives under those circumstances that the fear, love, and trust in God above all things, that stuff is not even a problem. But now, how about the disciples? When Jesus spoke his words, there was plenty of reason for them to be troubled. Blustery Peter was told he would deny. Judas was going to be possessed that he would betray. Thomas would doubt, John would flee, and they were all told about the passion to come and Jesus' departure. That's when the trouble started, isn't it? It's when it starts for us, too, when life is disrupted. When fearlessness crumbles, denials start, betrayal is easy, fleeing is preferred. So how about us today? What weighs on your heart? What's stealing joy from today? What's darkening your walk in the light of being God's chosen people? Soothe your hearts. Be confident. Be still and know the great I am. Do not be troubled, but have the anecdote. Believe. Believe as you do in God, which by necessity requires the belief in his Son. Believe that it is this Jesus who is your bridge over the troubled waters of life. Believe Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is, in fact, the great I am, that promised to dwell among his people, starting in a borrowed bed and ending in a borrowed tomb, that has given you the very sign of the resurrection that the exilic plague is over and death has been overcome. Jesus is the great who I am, who sent the Holy Spirit to be fruitful and multiply children by those holy waters. Jesus is the great I am, the bread of life, giving you of himself in your wilderness wanderings. Jesus is, in fact, the great I am, who will be with you at the moment of your death as his holy angels come and escort you into his presence, and you know again that I am the resurrection and the life. Remember that you're not wandering aimlessly. This Jesus, the great I am, is the way. Jesus is not some road sign. pointing to exit infinity for heaven, but he is the way to the promised land of life. He is the road that leads to eternal life. The great I am sitting at the right hand of his Father and yours welcome you home. You can be sure of this, that this promise is absolutely true, because the great I am says that he is the truth. This is an absolute truth, the truth unchanging, eternal, always was, always will be truth, unaffected by social whims, cultural interpretation, but it is in fact a first order necessity. Jesus is not merely some teacher passing along others' thoughts, but the very embodiment of truth itself, a truth of the Father revealed, the Father made approachable by his very Son, the humanity of Christ incarnate. It is this Jesus, the truth, who is the only way to know the Father, much to the consternation of our modernists. Jesus is in church, and his church are exclusive. Those who reject the truth of Christ also reject the Father and reject the grace that's offered and given through the Son. Remember what John recorded of Jesus' words, "Unless you believe I am, you die." But have no fear. For you, death has no hold. This is because Jesus has promised that he is, in fact, alive. You being united in Christ brings you life, as he is life, not merely giving but existing as the very thing itself. Death and absence cannot conquer that which is, any more than dark can overcome light. That which is not can never overtake that which is. Jesus is the life that brings light into the world, your world, as he offers himself up as the road that leads through the cross, yes, even through your troubles, all the while revealing the vision of eternity and heaven's bliss. Jesus is the way that brings you along life's hills and up from life's valleys as well. Jesus is the truth that does not fail to give life and meaning to each and every day. Be confident in Christ that you are welcomed back just like the prodigal, the faithful Peter, the confessing Thomas, the beloved disciple. All forgiven and free in Jesus Christ. That, Jesus said, he says, is exactly how great I am. In Jesus' name, amen.